This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. ESPN2, ESPNU. He is Chris Canty. She is Michelle Smallman. I am Evan Cohen. And she has a black eye.
There you go.
I mean, let's just get right into it. We are new. We are here. We are excited. We can't wait to be a part of this. This is the greatest radio show you could be a part of on ESPN
Radio.
Mama,
we made it.
We made it.
They done messed up, gave us our own radio show. They don't know what they did, do they?
They have no idea what they did. They're about to find out, Canty.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Well, we're about to find out what happened to you. So literally, this is day one. This is a big deal. Let's not beat around the bush. This is a huge deal. We're going to get into all the football, of course. But being here, sitting in this studio, a studio that Michelle sat across from for many years producing here on ESPN Radio. And this is the biggest day for us, right? Day one. A1 from day one here. And Michelle comes in with a black eye this morning.
Yeah. Well, the show is unsportsmanlike. I am a team player, and I think I took it a little too literally, guys. I came in thinking, all right, I'm going to establish myself as unsportsmanlike with a black eye.
But I feel like a black eye is sportsmanlike, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're playing high-level sports, like if you're in contact sports, if you're a boxer, MMA, you know, you're going to get a black eye. I feel like you're leaning into the identity of being a morning show host.
That's right.
On a sports show. I love it.
I would love to pretend that that's the truth. In actuality, this is highly embarrassing that on day one, I rolled in with a black eye. Shout out to the makeup crew who did a very good job, if you can see, of covering it
humble,
up.
Humble over here. Exactly. Wow, already saying how good looking she is. Interesting. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
You can't really tell, can you? Can you tell?
I mean, I know, but I don't know. I don't know what happened.
I can't tell. I have no idea. But you do have to tell us how it happened.
Yes. So I rolled in with a black eye at around 4:30 this morning, and you guys were wondering what happened, and we said, save it for the air. So this is the first time you're hearing this.
Yeah.
And I wish it was some amazing story like, oh, I was out playing tennis, and I was diving for a ball, and somehow it hit me in the face, or, you know, just some exciting story. Instead, it's just me being really clumsy, which you guys, we've spent some time together now. You know, I warned you, I'm a clumsy person. Now you're seeing it in action, fully in action. So we have to wake up early for this show. 4 a.m. is my alarm time now, and I'm not used to that. So on Sunday, I was like, I'm just going to lay low. I'm going to get up at 4 on Monday so that when we hit the ground running on Tuesday, I'm already acclimated. I'm ready to go. So I stayed in on Sunday, and I was going to clean my apartment, catch up on some football, catch up on some Hard Knocks. And I live in a tiny apartment in New York City. It is small. We love it. It's what we call charming, but it is small. It is small. So I was vacuuming, and I see something underneath my couch, and you can probably hear, I have allergies, so I have an air purifier that runs in my apartment. And it's a very small space, so as I was reaching underneath the couch, I was kind of crouched over. I tripped over the cord of the air purifier, and a physical glass on the table caught my fall.
She just hit herself with a microphone.
Saying, guys.
She just hit herself with a microphone.
She's about to give herself another black eye. It just happened
unbelievable.
Again.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. You thought I was kidding when I told you how clumsy I am.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, so as you can, you probably can't see, but there's a cut that's kind of a half moon shape, and that's from the glass. The glass caught my fall.
Yeah, but let me tell you, the flaw in your game plan is trying to get acclimated to getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because take it from somebody that's done it before. They ain't no getting used to it, Smalls.
None.
It ain't going to happen.
I'm trying to get in a routine, CeCe.
No, dog, it ain't going to happen. Waking up at 4 in the morning, you never get used to it. And I'm going to tell you the worst part about it.
Yeah.
When it gets cold outside.
Oh, don't even.
And that hawk hits you in your face when you walk out that door.
Don't even.
Yeah.
Now I'm afraid she walks on ice, though.
These are first world problems because we get to talk about sports for a living.
That's right.
But let me let you know, there's no way you get used to getting up that early in the morning.
Wait a second. You want to talk about first world problems? So we're sitting there before the show. And CeCe is telling us a story about when he signed with the Giants, okay? And this man is a Super Bowl champ. He was a dominant defensive lineman. I hate him because he beat the Patriots, and I'm a Pats fan. You'll learn about my front-running fandom.
Yep.
And this man gets this big free agent contract from the New York Giants. He's thrilled. His family's happy. He made it. He's back to New York where he's from.
Yeah.
And he complained that the Giants put him up in a hotel, that they had a key instead of like a key card. And he said, I really rethought my decision to sign with the Giants because they had a key to the room in the hotel.
So Evan is leaving out a couple of key details here, Smalls. First of all, when you walked up to the hotel to check in, there wasn't a lobby with a front desk. It was a glass window. So problem number one, and we're not talking about a hotel in Manhattan or in New Jersey. We're talking about a hotel in Queens. Not to disparage the borough of Queens, But I'm just saying, it's a little bit seedy when you start talking about airport hotels around LaGuardia. And my biggest issue was that the issue that I had with the Giants in negotiating could have been resolved a lot sooner. They tried to smoke me out. They were saying, well, you know, we got all of this, all of that going on. Other things to consider with our salary cap. First of all, sidebar, when a team tells you there are issues to consider with a salary cap, what they're really telling you is they don't want to pay you.
Right, right.
Because we realize the salary cap is not a real thing.
Right.
But I digress. Anyway, they knew that there was a winter storm coming in, a nor'easter coming in that evening, and they wanted to keep me from potentially going on my other free agent visits. They were my first stop.
Ooh, sneaky.
So they used that as a negotiating tactic and saying, yeah, you know this contract that we're giving you, it's going to look a lot better tomorrow if you can't get to Green Bay or wherever the hell else you're going. And so they tried to play that game. Now, eventually they caved and gave me my money.
Sure.
But because of the nor'easter rolling in, I couldn't get on a flight and go back home. I had to stay at the CD Motel in Queens that evening.
Okay, so let's
just... That's the problem.
Okay, like, but hold on a second.
I don't have a problem getting... The contract is supposed to be the highest of highs, right?
Okay.
But you can't feel comfortable when you're staying at a hotel where you have to sleep with all of your clothes on in the bed. There's no way you can make that comfortable.
On top of the sheets?
Exactly.
On top of the sheets. Been there.
Exactly.
But Michelle, as you
First
were
of
on...
All, this is like another story there when you talk about you've been there.
Been there. Been there. Studied abroad in Europe. Many a hostels where I slept fully clothed on top of the bed. Shoes on.
Well, as you were in hour three of makeup this morning,
yeah, it took
Chris,
a while.
Chris was saying that he was complaining about this hotel. And Pat and Nuno were ready to throw him out of the studio already. Like, it's actually insulting that you're going to complain. You get a massive, you earned a massive contract, and you're complaining about the key in the hotel.
Well, here's the thing. If you gave me a massive contract, you would think that you would want to treat your employees as best as you could, right?
Sure.
Having me
or
stay,
that you could pay for your own hotel.
But here's the thing. But why set me up, first of all, why set me up for a hotel that has real keys and a glass window where you have to go check in? After you gave me the contract you gave me, why would you do that?
Well, I understand
there's
that.
No good explanation. Exactly. You stop because there's no good explanation for
I understand that, but
there's no good explanation.
In general.
It's not like I know Queens, too. I'm from the Bronx in Co-op City. Co-op City and Queens, we don't cross no lines, man.
But I love, like, think about the pinnacle. It's like us complaining about the hotel.
Yeah.
We hit the pinnacle. We're here, unsportsmanlike, ESPN Radio, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN2, ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're here, right? This is an awesome opportunity. But if we were to come in this morning and say, you know, I don't love the hotel we stayed at in Bristol last night. Think about saying that. You can't even get that through your mind how inappropriate that would be.
Well, think about it. For me to bring it up just shows you how bad the hotel actually was. I don't think you guys understand. This hotel might have given out an hourly rate. Oh, that's the kind of place we're talking about here, guys.
Some of your teammates probably went there for
nobody,
that.
Wow.
I didn't say you.
Look at
I said some of your teammates.
Wow.
You didn't deny it.
You run into somebody.
He's now going through every teammate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this guy went to an hourly.
And on that note, do we have some sports that we need to talk about?
We're talking about signing with the Giants.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was. Yeah, you know I got called out already. Today's my first day on ESPN Radio, okay? And I got called out this weekend here on ESPN Radio.
By whom?
By Mike Tannenbaum, front office insider, former GM, Dolphins, Jets. He was on ESPN Radio over the weekend with Jonathan Zaslow. And take a listen to what Mike Tannenbaum said. He just lied about me coming into literally day one and week one of unsportsmanlike. Take a listen to what Mr. T had to say.
I'm just curious, is Evan Cohen going to be talking about sports or how not to play bets? I'm just curious, you know, his area of expertise really transcends a couple of things. Like, I made a couple of bets with him over the years. There's a great Italian restaurant in New York City called Quali Italian. They have chicken parm in the form of a pizza. He has lost count. He once told me, we almost bet on why the 49ers were trading up, and he was trying to talk me into the fact that they gave up multiple first-round picks for Kyle Pitts. And anyway, the amount of chicken parms that are owed from him to me is probably too many to count. So I'm sure the show is going to be great. Chris is great. Looking forward to hearing Michelle. But my man, Evan, he may know sports, but he sure doesn't know chicken parm.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. He literally miscategorized and characterized the bets. Those weren't the bets.
All right.
Right. He got every part of that wrong. He actually owes me chicken parm. Two, home and home, one in New York and one in Florida. You guys know, if you bet chicken parm, you better pay up on the chicken parm.
Sure, absolutely.
But that's a serious
thing. Yeah, let me adjust my pinky ring here. You better pay up on chicken parm.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, wow.
I'm Italian. We don't mess around with that, okay?
Wow. All of a sudden, Tony Smalls, her dad, sitting outside, getting ready. Let's go. All
Tony
right,
doesn't like, play. Yeah, Tony
right.
doesn't play.
Smalls knows a guy.
That's right.
Oh,
I know several guys.
She's got a guy.
She's the one. Yeah, but he got that all wrong. By the way, I was right about that. Think about if Kyle Pitts was there and they drafted him third overall instead of Trey Lance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't trade up three picks to get a tight end.
Yeah.
But they botched that whole thing. It's one of the big storylines going into the NFL season. Is Brock Purdy for real? And we're going to find out this year. But Mike Tannenbaum is just wrong in his analysis of the betting. It's just, I'll pay off the bet if I lose the bet. I didn't lose the bet.
I don't know about that.
Oh, you don't believe me now.
I don't know about that. All I'm just simply saying is this. I'm not taking a tight end third overall. I'm just not.
I understand that. But looking back, playing the results, do you take a fourth string quarterback?
Hindsight is 20/20, and we can get into this a little bit later, but I don't have a problem with San Francisco taking a big swing on a quarterback. They missed. It happens. Like, we've seen it time and time again. Like, the New York Jets, they keep taking swings on quarterbacks in the top five and keep missing, which is why they had to go out and get Aaron Rodgers. But it just shows you the state of the league. You have to have a quarterback that can be a difference maker, somebody that graduates your team, somebody that's beyond a game manager, because once you get into the playoffs, if you don't have a guy that can elevate the talent around him, you're not going to go very far.
But are you okay with them swinging and missing because the state of the team is still in a successful one? Because they're still contending?
Yeah.
Because
they've been to conference championship games three of the last 4 years.
Because how many other franchises could swing and miss like that and still be able to be in the conversation as far as a Super Bowl contender?
Exactly. When you hit on Mr. Irrelevant. That's when it comes down to it. It's when you hit on Mr. Irrelevant, we can ignore the fact that you swung and missed at the number three overall pick.
Yeah, but when you hit on the defensive player of the year, second overall pick in Nicky Bosa, you might want to give that guy his money so he can be
he doesn't play quarterback.
So he can be under contract.
You don't have to worry about the
defensive
line. Well,
he plays the second most important position in football, which
is defensive
line.
Oh, he plays left tackle?
Defensive line.
Left tackle?
No, the guy that gets the quarterback is the second most important position, and you don't have to take my word for it. Just look at the contracts. Mm.
I didn't realize he was a left tackle. I didn't know that. Well, you know
this
what?
Guy.
Maybe Bosa was offered a bad hotel in San Fran turned down the deal.
That could be
There's
it.
There's a key and
that
not a swipe.
It. That could be
and
it.
A glass window to check in on.
That's exactly
All right,
it.
Today's our day one. Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, at Unsportsmanlike on Twitter. So here's what we want people to do. Celebrate with us. Hashtag it Unsportsmanlike on Twitter. Tweet at us, at Unsportsmanlike, at Evco Radio, at ChrisCanty99, and at M Smallman. A picture of yourself. Tweet it at us. Let's commemorate our day one here, at Unsportsmanlike. A picture of you listening to our show or watching our show. Let's go here on ESPN Radio. All right, coming up, Deion Sanders is the biggest person right now in college football. Is the reaction and the coverage of him fair? We'll get to that coming up on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hey, yeah,
let's go.
Oh,
wait, look at Michelle doing the money sign. Let's go. You can watch on ESPN2 and ESPNU. Michelle Smallman, Super Bowl champion, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Yeah, this is Deion. Must be the money. Okay, so let's acknowledge one thing. Deion has become the biggest star in college football right now. He's an amazing coach. He was an amazing football player, an amazing baseball player. Maybe not an amazing rapper. Just throwing that out there for all the young people listening. You probably don't know that Deion was a rapper. Although I will say this. Is that an all-time bad yet catchy song?
I was going to say, you were bopping.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He's not a great rapper, but let's be honest. The song was a hit. And it still is.
currently?
The song is a part of the culture. Yeah. Absolutely.
The song slaps.
Absolutely.
You think his players know that he did that?
Oh, of course they do.
Oh.
I wouldn't be surprised if they played it in the locker room after they beat TCU.
Big time.
What you mean?
Is that up there like with Macarena in terms of all-time bad but catchy songs?
Wait, I can promise you it's more relatable than Macarena is to his players.
You like the Macarena?
What about Hanson Mbop?
Now that's a bop.
Now is that a bad song?
That's a bop. No pun intended.
I don't know what that one is, Smalls.
What?
You don't know Hanson Mbop?
Get
it, Evan.
We have, Javon.
You must be doing a terrible job of humming it, because I have no idea. I have no idea.
Mbop is one of the all-time windows down on a sunny day.
Come on, Canty. You know you're bobbing your head. Before the Super Bowl, you weren't listening to this.
I've never heard the song, guys.
Three brothers. I believe they're from Oklahoma. They have long, luscious hair.
I have three brothers, but we grew up in New York City in the 80s. I can promise you we weren't listening to this.
Oh, this is Peak Michelle.
This did not go hard at Co-op City.
Oh, this is me getting an Auntie Anne's pretzel at the mall, maybe going to Limited 2.
Nah, it was probably more like Paid in Full, Aeropostale, KRS-One. I'm just saying, this is outside of my purview, guys.
I said all-time bad but catchy songs.
Okay.
So Dion Must Be the Money may be that.
Oh, no question. Well, I have a hard time calling it a bad song, though.
So you're saying if it's catchy, it's not bad. Like exactly. Mbop, exactly. It cannot be considered bad.
If it's catchy, it's not bad.
Okay. That's interesting.
I think we need to adopt that stance as a show. Yeah. If it's catchy, it's not bad.
I'm down.
All right. You can tweet at us unsportslike on that. Is every catchy song automatically good?
Yeah.
I think you may be onto something. Yeah. Because if we say Must Be the Money is bad, well... And we're bobbing
our head. No, you said it's bad. I didn't say it's bad.
Well, now you're separating yourself from
take. Absolutely. I just want to make sure we're clear on
you're
this.
You're separating yourself from that take like Michelle did from me. Do I smell or something? Michelle literally changed seats.
I did.
What happened?
That
do
actually
I smell?
Happened during the break.
It took one segment, Evan, and I wanted to just.
Already.
It sounds like it's a you problem.
I'm going to go over to Michelle's.
It sounds like it's a you problem.
I think it's pretty clear that that's the case. All right, so Deion Sanders has become, and Colorado has become the biggest story out there in college football after their win against TCU this weekend. CeCe, the coverage of Deion has been interesting because normally when a hot coach comes onto the scene, we just sit there and say, wow, this guy's unbelievable. And it's really not a lightning rod of debate. Yet in this case, Deion has become a lightning rod of debate.
Yeah, because he's a disruptor. And anytime you have somebody that upsets the apple cart in an industry that has long been established and had its way of wanting the way they want to do things, when Deion comes in with the NIL and the transfer portal, adding 60 new players to a roster from a year ago that only won one game, people are going to raise an eyebrow. And the fact that he's doing it with the level of brashness that we've seen is something that plays into his persona, and it attracts players, and it attracts and energizes a fan base that hadn't had a lot to root for over the last decade. But that doesn't mean everybody is happy about it. And when we start talking about Deion being the biggest figure in college sports, I think one of the things that puts him on that platform is because he's symbolic of where college football is going. It's NIL. It's transfer portal. It's finding a way to engage your players. It's the impressions on social media. It's having the catchphrases. I mean, I saw him do an interview yesterday, and behind him in his office, he has his coined phrase, if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. If you play good, they pay good. That resonates with this generation of athletes.
That's why I wore a blazer today.
Exactly.
For Coach Prime.
But listen, you think Nick Saban and Brian Kelly and Mike Norvell and all those coaches can pull that off? Hell no. But that's why they don't like Deion. Everybody has something to say about him because he's unapologetic in the way he goes about it. But it has attracted a lot of players in this generation. And with every single win, it's only going to continue to perpetuate the success that he was able to show on Saturday at TCU.
I love it because sports needs personality. Sports needs character. Sports needs greatness. And Deion is all of that. Coach Prime is all of that. But I think we've learned over the past couple years, guys, fame is the most important currency in the United States of America. And I think a lot of people are turned off from Deion because of the fame factor. He was famous before he got this job. He'll be famous after this job, regardless of his coaching. And I think people look at Colorado and they're like, they went 1-11 last season. They're not going to be this good. No way. And then they beat a ranked team that was in the national championship.
The runner-up. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Then they're like, oh, all this transfer portal stuff. They have 86 new players. There's going to be some holes in this. They're not going to have chemistry. And what do? They come out and they beat TCU. And they're having so much fun doing it. And I think if you're a fan of another program who's been lackluster or lagging, or your program and your coach is preaching patience. It takes time to build things. And here comes Deion with all the swag in the world, collecting all of this talent and having immediate success. Some people don't like that.
No, clearly. And we saw a little back and forth with Deion and Ed Water in the post game after they had the big win down in Dallas. And the thing that hit me the most is when Deion was asking Ed, do you believe, do you believe? And Ed Water eventually responded, believe what? And that is emblematic of the level of skepticism that Deion has been met with ever since he stepped into the coaching realm. Remember, going back to Jackson State, you know, the reporter from the Clarion Ledger, Nick Suss, you know, was talking to Deion. It was a one-on-one interview, and he asked the reporter to refer to him as Coach or Coach Prime, and the reporter continued to call him Deion. And there was that level of disrespect because we don't necessarily believe you have the credibility to step into this type of role and have success. And think about what Ed Water said on his Twitter. He says, Colorado celebrity coach has made the most interesting program in the country. It's number two in merchandise sales and are sold out season tickets and renewal rate stands at 97% even before he's created attention with his first win.
So all of these things separately can be true. He is a celebrity. He is a coach. He does have Colorado respectable right now. TCU also may not be that good. I mean, they lost a ton from last year, right? So let's not go crazy with that. And he may be the biggest star in the sport, which we're going to get to coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to get calls in. Is Deion Sanders the biggest star in college football right now? Is he bigger than Saban? Is he bigger than Caleb Williams? And are you rooting for or against him? Because I think, as CC mentioned, there are a lot of people that are rooting against him. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can watch us on ESPN2, ESPNU, listen on Sirius XM Channel 80, and all of the great affiliates all across the country. He is a man that went on a Super Bowl run, Chris Canty. She is someone that goes on marathon runs, Michelle Smallman.
And half marathons, half marathons.
And I'm just a front runner, as people will learn over the course of time. So Pat McAfee is joining us here at ESPN, which is awesome. And he's going to be here very soon on the ESPN platforms. You know, he's a part of College Game Day. And this has just been an amazing week. Or it's going to be an amazing week, couple of weeks, with our show debuting on Sportsmanlike. Of course, Greeny after us at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Carlin versus Joe, Freddie and Harry, Ian Fitzsimmons, Amber Wilson, Q Myers. I mean, just an Jay Reynolds overnights with SportsCenter all night. Just an awesome lineup put together by everybody here at ESPN Radio. And I mentioned McAfee because he had Deion Sanders on yesterday. And let's take a listen to what Prime had to say after his big win over TCU this weekend.
The standard don't change. Like, the standard has a location and it don't change whatsoever. Now, it's up to us to get to that destination. Like, the standard is the standard. I would be a fool to sit up here like, hey, man, I think winning four games is great. Please. four games for us? Like, come on, man. We don't think like that. We ain't built like that. We don't talk or walk or act like that. We're here to be dominant. We're here to take over this thing and change the whole darn game and be unapologetic about it. That's the way we're. I want my kids to have fun. I want them to do stuff. I don't give a darn if we 21 points up, get the penalty. Do your dance, baby. What? I got you. I got you. I mean, like, I love what I do, and I do what I love, and I love these darn kids, man. I want them to go pro. I want them to get the degrees. I want them to be assets to the communities. I want them to be great fathers, great sons. Like, I want so much for these kids. I want them to understand financial literacy. I want so much for these kids, and they love it. And they know I've had my turn. Baby, I'm your navigational system. I'm your guy in the corner in the ring. I'm telling you, left, right, left, duck. Okay, that's Sue Ryan. That's Chad, jab. Like, that's who I am, my man. That's what I enjoy every day, and I don't tire in doing it.
I'm your navigational system. That is awesome.
You don't think that excites a 19, 20, or 21-year-old?
You think he's more Waze or GPS?
I would say he's probably more Waze, because yeah. Waze seems to be more efficient in getting you where you want to be.
Waze has the hacks.
Yeah.
And that's what Coach Prime is saying.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
Oh, yep. Waze is saying there's a cop up ahead, there's a crash, I'm going to save you 12 minutes if you go right instead of
there's
keep
nothing
going
better
forward.
Than that. When you hear the GPS or Waze say, I found a better way for you, it's 12 minutes faster?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But that's what Deion is saying to
I'm
these kids.
12 minutes faster.
I found another way for right. you. You don't have to go to these traditional powers with the Nick Sabans in Alabama or Kirby Smart at Georgia or Brian Kelly at LSU. You don't have to do it that way. You don't have to conform to what they're asking you to do. You don't have to be as buttoned up with me at Colorado, and you can still win. You can still play at a high level. Think about it. The first time out, they go out and they set a school record having four 100-yard receivers, all transfers, by the way. And then his son, Shador, throws for 510 yards, which is also a single-game record for Colorado.
Yeah.
Think about that. They now have evidence of everything that Coach Prime has been preaching to them
one game.
Over the last 6 or 7 months.
You're right, but one game.
Yeah, you're saying it's one game,
yeah.
But it is one game in which there were three touchdown dogs against the runner-up in the national championship game from a year ago.
It's a great one game.
It's a hell of a one game.
Right, it's not playing my high school football
not
team.
Not at all, but the other part of that is because he's able to offer credibility in a way that pretty much no other coach in college football can, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of mainstays, stalwarts, that are upset about how Deion is doing what he's doing. And Deion told you from the jump, his first team meeting in Colorado, he's bringing his luggage with him, and it's going to be Louis.
That's right.
Because of the transfer portal and because of NIL, it's allowed him to turn the team over quicker than everybody expected. And now all of the naysayers have nothing to say, but job well done. We'll see what you do next week.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at this Deion situation, we're going to get calls in on this at 888-SAY-ESPN in a second here. I want to just bring up the question again, because I know you were in the barbershop yesterday debating this whole conversation. Is he the biggest star in college football? And I think right now he is. Like, I think he is more front and center than Nick Saban right this second. I think he's more front and center than Caleb Williams right this second. I also think, in general, that when we look at this whole thing, it's still a small sample size. So he's the biggest star for now, which is awesome because he's probably capitalizing on recruits, but there's a lot of room to still grow here. And there's no reason to think he won't.
There is, but it seems like we're having people amplify the conversation, people that are detractors, and trying to take away from what Deion has already accomplished as a coach. Think about it. He was a high school coach in Texas, very successful there. He couldn't get a Power 5 job. He wanted the Florida State job. They hired Willie Taggart and then Mike Norvell, and they've been spinning their wheels. Feels like they're on solid footing now. But this is a guy that has a Hall of Fame resume and couldn't get a job in Division 1A football. So he went to Jackson State. And even at Jackson State, people said he couldn't get the job done. Won back-to-back SWAC championships.
Yep, he did.
And now he's gone to Colorado, and he's won in his first game out against a top 25 team. And it just seems like people at every turn want to take away from what Deion is trying to build, in large part because of his brashness and his confidence and his boisterousness. But that's a part of his persona, and that's something that sells. Now, what makes him one of the most polarizing figures, along with being the biggest figure in college sports, and I don't know whether or not that means that people are eventually going to like him with more wins. I think he turns into the person that you're either rooting for or the person that you love to root against.
That brashness, that boldness is part of the reason why he's having so much success, because we just heard him talking to Pat McAfee. Imagine if you're a student athlete or a parent, either one, you're saying, yep, Coach Prime, I'm going to you. The parent, he's saying, I want them to be successful young men. I want them to do well in the community. Financial literacy is important. All of these things, if you're a parent, that's important. If you're a kid, he's saying, we're going to win and we're going to have fun doing it. You can TikTok, you can wear the chains, you can dance, you can celebrate. Have fun doing this. And how many other coaches are saying that? How many coaches that we get the coach speak from? It's pretty stale. And I know a lot of these coaches that have success, they know how to work the room. But nobody can work the room like Coach Prime. Nope. And as he continues to have success, that brashness, that boldness, that personality is only going to continue to elevate. And the people that like it are going to love it. And even if he continues to have success, the people that hate it, they're going to hate him even more. So he is not only going to continue to be either the biggest or one of the biggest faces in college football, he's going to be a villain for a lot of people.
Let's talk with John in Orlando, who's listening on SiriusXM Channel 80. What's up, John? Welcome to Unsportsmanlike.
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and congratulations on the new show.
Thank you.
I want to say, yesterday, holiday weekend, I'm coming back from my family camping trip, and one of your hosts were talking about this, and I took offense to it because they said only people 40 years or younger would really like Deion and what's going on. I got to tell you, I'm 55 years old. I was going to high school as Deion was going through FSU. I am a Miami Hurricane fan, and I love Deion Sanders. He should have went to the University of Miami with his outspokenness and his whole personality. But what he's doing for college football, he flat out said in his interview, he's going to make these kids winners. He's going to make sure they get an education. And he's there for them to be the best people that they can be in their lives.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what he's done, that is it, right? I mean, he's riding that wave right now. He is perfect for what college football is today. Because basically, you need somebody to recruit free agents. He can do that. Mm-hmm. You need somebody to figure out the NIL deals. He can definitely do that. He has ads all over the country, which is awesome. And any great advertising partners that want to join us here on Unsportsmanlike, get in now. Get in now.
No doubt.
Right? Because we are going to be the prime time. It must be the money, right? That's what we're going to be of ESPN Radio. So get in now, right? Reach out to us if you want. Like Deion, get in now. It's interesting you brought up the Miami thing. Because I was thinking about this, and Cece, you brought up the idea of FSU. I can't help but wonder, is Colorado big enough for him? I keep thinking about, if he does what he says he's going to do at Colorado, how soon before an SEC school calls?
Ooh.
And if Billy Napier does not start doing things at Florida, just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
How soon before an SEC school looks at it and says, why exactly did we let this guy go to Colorado? Yeah. And Colorado's had great tradition,
Yeah. Just
not recently. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be the bar that all of these other coaches that programs might not be sold on long term are going to have to measure up to. Because Deion is going to have success at Colorado, because he's going to turn it around, and because they're going to be more than just a one-win team, which is what they were a year ago, other programs are going to look at it and say, we want some of what Deion Sanders is bringing to the table. Not only can he recruit, but he has the football acumen to have a smart, tough, disciplined football team. That's what we want. You don't think that win was huge for Mike Norvell over Brian Kelly on Sunday night? It was absolutely huge.
Yep.
Because Mike Norvell saw what Deion did over the weekend, Yeah. And that's the job that Deion wanted.
Big time.
So, I mean, this is going to be a guy that a lot of people are going to court. But now, because Deion has had to come up, quote unquote, the hard way in terms of his path to being a coach in a Power 5 conference, I think there's going to be a lot more leverage if and when he does decide to leave Colorado. But based on what he's got rolling right now, I don't know why he would want to leave anytime soon.
All right, coming up, we got to get into an all-time mother-son relationship. This mother-son relationship may actually overshadow a massive college football upset from last night. We will get to that coming up. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I feel like I got a swag surf That's on this right. one, right? I feel like I got to take it back to 2009. A little swag surf.
Talk about a song that never goes out of style.
Exactly, exactly.
This one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
By the way, poll question is up at EBCO Radio about whether or not... Okay, this is how this show is going to be. I mean, we're going to get used to it here, ladies and gentlemen. That whether or not... If a catchy song is just that, can it be a good song? Is every catchy song automatically a good song, which comes from Deion Sanders' Must Be the Money? Well, 90% say no, that not every catchy song is automatically a good song.
And that's okay. 90% of the people can be wrong. It's okay. When people zig, most of the time I zag. I'm
Got
okay
it.
With that.
Okay. All right.
I'm okay with being on that side.
All right.
But they're just wrong.
You can weigh in on that at Unsportslike on Twitter as well. So last night, big college football upset. Because, you know, when we were thinking about the show and planning the show, the number one thing we said when we had the three of us put together here, we said, you know, we have to do a lot on Duke football. That is the number one topic that is – forget this NFL thing and this LeBron James and Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes – it's Duke football as to where we got to go. Well, give them credit because they had a massive upset last night over a top 10 Clemson team. And their quarterback, Riley Leonard, had a big game last night. And this is a guy that we now know about, but more so we know about Mrs. Leonard, his mother. Because we learned during the course of the broadcast that his mom sends him text messages telling him, "You suck," before every game. In order to, quote, keep his ego in check. Ironically, my mom sends me the same exact ones.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, but it's not before any show or anything like that. Just in general. Oh, it's Tuesday at 4:35 in the afternoon. You suck. Call me back. Right? So I'm used to this. I can relate to Riley Leonard here.
Does it motivate you?
No. Okay. It just makes me want to block her number. I actually have changed my name in her phone to, "Do you think I'm really going to pick up?"
Really?
Yeah. Well, anyway... Chris doesn't know what to do with this.
I don't even know where to go.
Wherever
I don't
you
even
want.
Know where to go,
do you
man.
Like this? I mean, when you played, did you have anybody kind of getting in your head before games? I mean, obviously, you know, you were so old that there were no text messages
back
then.
Not before games, but after games, certainly. Like, I remember my dad once upon a time got mad at me because there was a write-up in the New York Post that called me a free agent bust. And he got mad, and he used a couple of expletives, and he said, "That's my damn name you're out there screwing up, kid. Oh. That's my name."
Oh, he wasn't mad at the Post. He was mad at you.
He was mad at me because I played awful, and I embarrassed him so badly that they wrote about it in the New York Post. And he felt the way about it. This is a true story. This actually happened, and this was at a Thanksgiving get-together because we played on Thanksgiving night.
At Thanksgiving?
This is at Thanksgiving.
I'm thankful for my health, my home. I'm not thankful for my son.
I'm not thankful for my son that's playing in the National Football League, made a lot of money because he embarrassed me.
Wow.
And went as far as to say that's his name, not mine.
Well,
was he right, though?
He gave it to
you. He's not wrong.
He's
not wrong.
No, I know it's your name, but you weren't that good, is what you're saying.
I played terrible that game. Played awful that game. I was stealing my first year with the Giants. It was a paid vacation.
Well, they have that key situation in the hotel. They didn't put you up in a nice hotel.
They deserved it.
It was payback. Payback.
There you go.
But, Michelle, do you like this? Like, the idea of the mom sending the text to the quarterback, who was great last night, and obviously that's a big upset win. Do you like the idea of the "you suck" text?
I love it. I need people in my inner circle that know me and that aren't afraid to tell me like it is. Like, I love, Cece, that your dad said that to you, because I need people to check me when I need to be checked. His mom clearly knows what he needs to get motivated, and she is not afraid to do it. So I love it, because it's probably something that has riled him up in the past, and he needs it to perform.
And Dabo, by the way, Dabo Swinney, after the game, was talking about how, like, this loss is unlike any loss he's ever seen. Oh, God. You know, there are some of these coaches, as you know, you tie it into Deion. Swinney calls Clemson stunner weirdest game. Now, you got your butt kicked.
Yeah.
right? You may have had more yards and first downs and everything like that. Sure, it's a weird game. You lost 28-7 to an unranked team as the ninth-ranked team in America. And I think there are some coaches that are at risk of being left behind. I mean, Clemson may be good this year, but let's be fair, CeCe. They have not had that level of dominance, that Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson level, over the last few years, and there's some kind of transition. I think going to, you have to be more like Dion and less like Dabo in the way in which you operate your college football program.
No doubt about it. I mean, the last 2 years, Clemson has had 6 losses, which is more than the last 5 years in the program when they had Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. So that just goes to show you the direction that the program is trending. And so, yeah, Dabo's clearly losing his footing when it comes to recruiting, but also his messaging to the players that he has in his locker room, because they played uninspired football last night.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. That game shouldn't have been that close. Dabo wants to talk about all of the miscues his team had in the second half. Well, let's talk about the Duke miscues in the first half. Jalon Calhoun muffs a punt, and that gifts Clemson 7 points. And then they're in field goal range, and Jordan Waters ends up fumbling the ball and doesn't be able to put points on the board before halftime and take a lead. So, I mean, there were plenty of mistakes that the Blue Devils made, but Clemson wasn't able to take advantage of them in the same way that Duke was able to take advantage of the miscues from the Tigers. And so I think that's where the game was won and lost. So forget about telling me about all of the indicators and how Clemson is 58-0 since he's been there, when they rush for 200 and they throw for 200. None of that matters. Your team made critical errors, which caused them to lose, and nobody wants to hear about your excuses and how much of last night's loss was an aberration, because it wasn't. Duke beat Clemson pillar to post, point blank and period.
Oh, he really is talking about Duke football. I was kind of joking about that, and he just gave us
an entire
breakdown.
You know what? Riley Leonard should take off that wristband his mom gave him and give it to Dabo Swinney, because right now they suck.
Oh.
The Clemson Tigers suck.
Yeah, well, because Dabo doesn't believe in the stuff that wins in college football today. He doesn't believe in the transfer portal. He doesn't believe in the NIL. He doesn't believe in any of that stuff. There's a level of other guys. I mean, Mike Norvell at Florida State. I see our buddy Joe Fortenbaugh just tweeted about this. And, of course, you'll hear him with Chris Carlin noon until 3 Eastern time on many of these ESPN radio affiliates across the country. And Joe had a good tweet at Joe Fortenbaugh. The game is passing Dabo by. The transfer portal is essential, and he hasn't done a good job on that front. Meanwhile, his chief competition in FSU owns the portal. So there you go. Like, it's almost as if you're an NFL or NBA team and you're like, nah, I'm good with free agency.
Huh.
I don't need it. No, we're good. We're going to build it through the draft. That's the only way we're going to build this team, and we are not going to do anything else. Now, you could do that. You could become the Oklahoma City Thunder, and at some point you're going to be good, but it's going to take you 7 years to get there. And that's what Dabo – you don't have 7 years in college. Well, some people have 7 years in college.
Not with what Clemson is paying him.
Right. Right. And there was all this talk forever. Okay, so when Saban walks away, Dabo's going to go to Alabama, where he went to school. He played wide receiver. If I'm Alabama, and right now, if Saban were to say, I'm good, I'm leaving college football, I've done all I could do, and you had a choice between Deion Sanders or Dabo Swinney, it's not close. You take Deion. It is not close. Dabo is not next in line. If he's not going to embrace what's going on with college football today, what happened last night is going to happen more.
It's evolve or die, and Coach Prime is doing that. He is the personification of what college football is right now, and Dabo is probably having a pretty big wake-up call today, saying, if I don't get on board, and, you know, a lot of these old-school coaches, even if they've had success at this level, are coming in kicking and screaming to all of the changes, they need to change, because if not, people like Coach Prime are going to pass them up.
Yeah, you're assuming that, Smalls. You're assuming that he's waking up today thinking, I have to change. I ain't assuming that.
No.
I ain't assuming that. I think he's waking up today saying, the way they do it is still wrong, and I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to win at the end. Which, that's going to have more 28-7 scores to Duke on his hands. That's what's going to happen. All right, coming up, a captain was named in the NFL. That captain may not play a game this season. We will get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.